Hey, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
We are Working Class Nerds.
Cue the intro. We are Working Class Nerds, the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, August 5th, 2021. And you can find this 116 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and anywhere you can find podcasts in this galaxy. You can also watch me completely fail at video games at twitch.tv/MarcusB814.
You can watch me play video games at twitch.tv/NickVern. That's 51. That's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N 5-1.
And you can find the both of us on Twitter. I am at MarcusB814.
And I'm Nick Vern. That's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N. In this week's episode, we're talking with Mac Daddy. Mac Daddy's a Twitch streamer who focuses on Sea of Thieves. Arrgh! And he'll be playing New World once it comes out, if it ever comes out. So, Mac Daddy, thanks for coming on the show. And what have you been up to?
Yo, what's up, guys? I'm Mac Daddy. I'm a Twitch streamer and overall president of positive. At least I try to be.
That's a great title.
And I, have just been living life, enjoying what life has been giving me recently.
And what has it given you?
The game New World, that's for sure. Or at least the two and a half week beta of New World.
Is it really that addicting?
Look, I have played MMOs for a long time. Like, I started off with WoW, played SWTOR, and now coming into New World. Like, I also played ESO, Elder Scrolls Online. And New World, it's just, it's a different experience. And I think for that reason alone, at least for me, that's what makes it addicting, is because the experience that this game provides, as far as like overall gameplay and visuals, it's just different. And it's so much fun to just figure out all the little details that have been put into this game.
Well, so originally this game was going to be a gank box. And I attribute that to like Ultima Online, where it was supposed to be a pure PvP game. Okay. Like pure PvP, no matter where you go, you can get ganked. Right?
Yes.
Then they did their closed alpha, which I played, and
way to just flex real quick there.
Yeah, because I pre-ordered it the second they announced it, and then I got the NDA closed alpha, and I played it, and my time for the first hour was landing on the island, starting to chop down a tree, and I'd get ganked.
Really?
Yep. And then I would respawn and I'd go start chopping down a tree and I'd get ganked again. And I was like, well, this is fucking stupid. So finally, after about an hour, I got to not chop down a tree and not get ganked. And then I started building something and I got ganked. So that happened for about 3 hours. And I guess my experience was really bad compared to other people's, because like there was a chat system and I was explaining it and they were just, I guess people just saw the name Marcus B814 and they were like, F this guy, we're going to kill him.
Apparently.
But then, so they listened to the community, and this is the magical part. Amazon listened. Usually Amazon doesn't listen. They do what they want, but they listened to the community and they've made this like a hybrid PvP, PvE game and crafting.
Yeah.
So they went back and I mean, how many times has this game been delayed? Mac.
So I got to be completely honest here. I was only recently made aware of this game and only recently talked into playing this game.
Oh, wow.
It was actually Director Chronic and High Jedi both made mention of it to me that they had gotten addicted within the first couple of days of the beta. And they were like, you should check this out. And I was like, I'm super skeptical because like there aren't going to be MMOs like SWTOR or like, wow, again, like this isn't going to happen. Like there's not going to be an experience like this for me.
Sure.
So I was like, no, I'm not going to play it. And then like a week after it, the beta had been open, High Jedi was like, please just try it out. Just give it a shot and let me know what you think. So I opened it, I downloaded it. I pre-ordered it and downloaded it. And I was like, all right, this is actually, I kind of like this concept of all of the crafting and stuff leading up to the end game content being PvP. I like that idea that you are working towards, everything in the beginning of the game is working towards being the best at PvP. I like that system. I think that to me is a very, I think that's a very, that I'm obviously oversimplifying it, but I think that that is a system that can be very successful. If you continue to do like what they did in the beta, I think this game can be really successful because of that format.
A couple things that I like about the game is it's beautiful as shit. The Lumberyard engine is beautiful. It's current. So like the game plays like a current gen game where it doesn't feel like you're playing a like SWTOR makes you feel, you can tell SWTOR is old, right? When you play it.
Yeah.
And this game is brand new. It feels it. What I like is that if you don't, at least in the beginning of the game, if you don't want a PvP, you don't have to. The crafting is super in depth. Like I would, you know, it's more in depth than Breath of the Wild, but it's like a Breath of the Wild. Like you're just getting stuff and making shit. And, you know, and you can spend your time just crafting. You don't even have to do anything else in the game. The PvE elements in the game are mostly like daily stuff and weeklies. Not really like end game style stuff. There is a dungeon, but you know, nobody I know actually did the dungeon. But everybody I know loved it. Like everybody is talking about it. Everybody is super excited for it. So I hope that they, you know, I know it got delayed to end of September, which I think is completely fine, because what I'm finding is don't release a game that's broken, like Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
100%. For me, I would much rather them delay the game or delay a game and have it come out and be right than release a game and it suck balls instantly. And because it's going to be really hard to get people to come back. Because I don't believe Amazon is going to do a Final Fantasy 14 where they released Final Fantasy 14. It sucked. They completely pulled it off the shelves, unavailable. And then they re-released it a year and a half later or 2 years later, and it's a brand new game.
Wow.
They redid the entire game.
That's crazy.
Because it sucked.
Yeah.
But that's somebody that's committed. So, yeah. And I'm going to buy the game. Even if I don't play it, I'm going to buy it just to support Amazon, because I feel like if Amazon finally has a successful game, there's going to be more games that come out.
Because
they've already canceled three other games. And for me, I'm just like, okay, they've already canceled three games. Like, let's get them a win.
Yeah, because that's a lot of money and power to put behind games. You know, like, that's a lot of resources you can have for a game studio where it's not just a game studio that is making the money. You know what I mean? It's not like an Activision or a Blizzard where all the revenue's coming from there, or, you know, insert game company here.
Right.
Amazon's got, obviously, a lot of other stuff, so they can just funnel money into it.
Correct. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Mac, the other thing that we see that you play is Sea of Thieves. My own experience now, I feel like that game is fun, even though I've never played it. I've watched a lot of people play it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't like about it is there's no progression in the game.
No, like, gear progression, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there's progression in terms of, like, the missions you have to do for each... I forgot what you actually call it, but cult, like,
emissary. Faction.
Yeah, you can be an emissary for different. Well, what do you call them? Like, not factions. That's not the right word, but.
Well, I actually, yeah, that is what they're called, the factions.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. But you can progress through your, like, how cool of, like, the missions you can do for each faction.
Yeah, but
you know?
It runs out.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's hard to get through them all.
Oh.
But.
I guess for me, it's just. I don't see the, I guess maybe because it's not a gear progression, like you're not upgrading your ship to be stronger.
Right.
I feel like there's, and a lot of people play it and I'm not dogging on it because if you play it, you play it. But for me, it's just, it doesn't scratch that itch of progression. I feel like I could play it once with my friends, have a great time that one time, but that's definitely a game that I would play once and not pick it up again.
Yeah, I getcha.
And I think that's completely fair, to be honest, because that's exactly what happened to me. When I, because I bought the game for my Xbox when it first came out, and I played it twice. And the first time I got ganked literally the entire like 2 hours that I was playing, and it sucked. And then the second time I played, I was playing through it and I was like, there, I don't know what I'm like, what am I working towards? Like, what am I doing all of this work for? Why am I going to get this chest? Like, why am I going to do this? Why am I going to do that? And I stopped playing it completely. And it wasn't until probably like 4 or 5 months ago that I picked the game back up, mostly for the, I think it was mostly for the social aspect of being able to play with some people that I haven't played games with in a long time. Some friends that I like, not that I distanced from them, but like we just kind of had like a little bit of a distance created between us.
Yeah, you drifted
apart. I knew that they were playing Sea of Thieves, and I was like, you know what? I can give Sea of Thieves another shot, and I can't tell you how much fun I've had just for that aspect of it being just a game that you can load up and just meme with the homies.
Yeah, that's the most fun I've had playing with it. It was me and friend of the podcast, Joey Feta, would just hop on and just fuck around and play, you know, songs while we're sailing and stuff. I'd be the gunner. He'll drive the ship, fend off the Kraken and things like that.
The Kraken?
Yeah, or the Megalodons or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Other ships, etc. It was awesome. But I think I'm lean towards Marcus a little bit in the gameplay. See, it's a double-edged sword, right? Like the simple lack of gear progression means anybody can jump in with their friends. And if their friend has played for 150 hours and they've played for 150 seconds, their guns do the same damage. So you can help them out on their high end missions if you want to, or whatever it is you're doing. You can play together. You know, there's not like, oh, I have to wait for my friend to get to level 70 to go grind with me.
Well, that is a solid point. You know? I didn't think of it like that.
Yeah, because that looks like, for example, Joey's got way more hours than me in the game. He's probably like 20 or 30 or something like that. I don't really know, but when I could just jump in, we can do a mission together and away we go, you know? So it's not in that respect. I think it's really awesome. It makes it really, really, really inviting for new people. And I think because it's so fun to just join up and become a pirate gang with your friends, that's a really important aspect of it. And it's like, obviously Sea of Thieves is super duper popular. So it's a good model for them, but it does lend itself to, you know, some folks just being like, well, this is maybe not for me, but I think it's a cool game.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things too that like helped me get into it is like I'm not somebody that enjoys, and it is because I've never been good at these games, but I don't like the games that like I haven't ever been good at games that require like a high mechanical skill. Mostly, like I said, because I haven't been very good at them throughout my life. But I think the skill curve is so relatively low in Sea of Thieves.
Yeah,
I think that helps build the value for you can get just about anybody online to play with you.
Sure.
Regardless of skill level in any game, because it's not just with like, I mean, because my brother and I, for example, have played with some of our younger cousins and it's been a blast having them play with us, you know, and the game doesn't take a lot to like understand. There's like if you have at least somebody who knows, has a general idea of what to do, I mean, you can play with just about anybody, like you guys were saying.
Well, and I view a game's popularity by the amount of Twitch viewers, and there's 4.5K watching people play Sea of Thieves right now.
Yeah,
so clearly there's interest.
Yeah.
And to put it in perspective, there's 7,000 people watching people play Destiny and 17,000 people watching people play Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So they're right in the middle of the pack.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, look at me. What was it, yesterday? I checked into Marcus's stream while I was making dinner. And then I just did the Marcus roundabout that you showed me. Pulled up Kamiri's stream, said hi. Pulled up Serp's stream, said hi. And Serp was playing Sea of Thieves, and they were doing some crazy... I think it was Athena's, the Athena faction or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's called. It's one of the high-end ones that you have to do other stuff to unlock. But they're on, like, trying to get a chest for that, and they had to line up in a circle. And certain people had to play certain instruments on like the points of the compass. It was like 10 people with them or something like that. Something crazy. Like, and I was like, it made me interested to see, like, oh, okay, so this is some of the higher end, like, puzzles you have to solve to find the chests for this high end faction stuff, which is kind of cool.
And this is what I was talking about, like, with New World delaying. Like, when Sea of Thieves first came out, it was just a bland game. That was the one and done. Yeah, right. But it's been out a couple of years now, and the development team has not stopped producing content for the game. The game is not free to play. You have to buy a copy in order to play it.
Right.
And they're and then they just partnered with Disney. And now the latest expansion is you play as Captain Jack Sparrow or alongside of him. And yeah. Like
and Davy Jones gets involved.
Like, again, this is my opinion. I am not a Pirates of the Caribbean fan.
But
like, if you are, why aren't you playing this game?
Right.
Absolutely.
You get to be in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. So, Nick, what have you been up to?
So, basically, well, I'll start with health stuff first. So, you know, as everyone knows, or most people know, I had mono about end of June into early July.
Yeah, it's been like months.
My liver was all screwed up. That's now 100% better, which is great. My spleen was super enlarged. It was like a balloon ready to pop, which is not good because if that happens... you can die really quick and you need surgery to fix it. So I can almost play paintball, which is sweet.
What do you mean by almost?
I can play in September. I need to take one more month off.
Why?
Because my spleen's still enlarged.
Just play.
You don't need
a spleen.
Yeah, you don't. But if it ruptures and I bleed out because I'm at Matt's Outback in the middle of bumfuck Coventry, Connecticut, ain't no way an ambulance is getting there to get me to a decent operating table. Anytime soon, so it ain't worth it. Anyways, and I like to coach, so I'm still gonna be involved, but I'm close but no cigar. I also had my sister's graduation Wednesday. Shout out to Ari.
Congratulations.
Yes, congrats, dude.
Or should I say congratulances, because now you got to get a job.
No, she's not even halfway done with school. She's getting a master's and then a PhD. She just hit the checkpoint.
Yeah. Hey, she hit the checkpoint to reality that grad school is uber expensive.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Rest in peace, your bank account.
No kidding. But that was awesome. It was a cool ceremony and stuff. So congrats, Ari.
Hell yeah.
All right. So on to streaming stuff. I'm almost at affiliate. I'm this close. I can taste it. I need two more streams, basically, where my viewers are over the 3.0 threshold. My followers are great. I'm in the 70s, I believe 75 or so followers. Mac Daddy just followed, is my newest follower. So shout out to our awesome podcast guest this week. Thank you for that.
Whoop, whoop.
So as for my schedule, it's Mojave Mondays are always 8:30 to 10:30 PM every single Monday. I'm playing Fallout New Vegas. It's some great story content. So we can go through the Mojave Desert together, finding all the fun Fallout stuff. Marcus is pulling it out.
Wait. Yeah, it's great story content, but the gunplay in it is terrible.
No way.
That game sucks.
I love it. I love the VAT system where you shoot people in the head seven times and they're still alive.
Yes.
That's the plot of the game. You start the game, your character gets shot in the head twice and then wakes up, and that's your character because he doesn't remember anything because he got shot in the head twice.
He got shot in the head. It's not like he's wearing a bulletproof helmet.
Maybe he was.
Oh, my God.
I love this game. So, anyways, it's an awesome game. I'm going to switch to something else for story content, but I'm going to play at least through a good chunk of this first. So,
well, yeah, I feel
like I got to at least get to New Vegas.
Okay,
you know?
So it's just us talking, right?
Yeah.
So do you want me to be honest?
Of course.
I think I would be more engaged in your Fallout New Vegas if you didn't play it for 6,000 hours before, because as soon as one guy talks, you're like, oh, I remember this guy. I don't want to be a part of his faction. And I'm like,
that's true.
I'm like, wait, how do you like, how many times have you played this game?
A lot.
Like, I want the brand new game that you can play. And it's like, holy shit, this just happened.
Right.
Kind of a situation.
A whole new world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because then I feel like it's more, yeah.
I get you. Like, you're experiencing it alongside me. I'm not like holding your hand through this story.
Do you want to hold my hand?
No. I don't know where, I know where those hands have been. But anywho, so Mojave Mondays, every Monday night is going to be story content. I'm starting out with Fallout New Vegas. And then I'm going to continue to sprinkle in Power Hours, where I'm going to play Warzone, Call of Duty Warzone with my teammates from the paintball team we play on, CWE Power.
So
hence the name Power Hour, because it's Nick and the boys from Power.
My question is this, okay, Nick, is are you planning on doing like the next 2 weeks, you're going to just do one stream, or are you planning on doing like getting this done this weekend? Like, what is your plan?
My game plan. So yes. Friday, I can't stream. Otherwise I would. I'm actually playing Legion with Joey Feta, friend of the pod. Star Wars Legion, I should say, the tabletop game, and Jacob, aka Billy Bob, who plays with me on Power as well, one of my paintball teammates.
Okay.
So that'll be epic Friday. But Saturday I'm free. I'm probably gonna go have adult beverages if I had to guess. But what are you doing over there? Marcus pulled up. He's giving me some kind of gift. I don't know what it is, but on Steam. But the message is in all caps, fuck you, New Vegas sucks. Continue. Anyways, so my point being, I'm probably not going to stream this weekend, but I am going to obviously stream Monday nights are locked and loaded. And then I like a Tuesday or Wednesday night as well. So watch for the Power Hour there. I'll probably wrap things up that way, if I had to guess.
All right, so next week
it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, at least Monday for sure, and either Tuesday or Wednesday or both, so for sure. Does that make sense?
So you're hearing it first on Monday. Nick will not be playing Fallout New Vegas anymore. It's dead. It's over.
What'd you just buy me on
Horizon
Steam?
Zero Dawn. You're done. You are done with New Vegas.
All right,
game over. Fuck that game.
Damn. You know what? See, the power move is he just bought it for me, so I can't even argue.
I just did it. You know what it is? I you can't shoot somebody in the head and not die.
It bothers you so much.
It does.
That's awesome.
Well, you know what it was? It's because I played Fallout
3. Yeah.
And as soon as you come out of like the vault.
Yeah.
What was the number was the vault? 101?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You come out of the vault and these dogs start chasing you. I'm like, all right, I got myself a bat.
Yeah.
Or whatever the weapon was.
Yeah.
And it pull up the VAT system. Okay. Boop.
Oh, it's roaches. Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever it is. And yeah, I click three times to the fucking roach's head. Nope. Didn't kill it. Killed me. I had to load back in and walk out of the vault again. I'm like, well, this is stupid.
That's
I got ganked by a roach.
That's really funny.
Got a roach. Anyway,
they're rad roaches. They're like cat sized.
Wow, that was a complete sidebar. Sorry, Mac.
No big deal. No big deal.
Return of the Mac. One second. Anyone else know that song?
No.
You know that I'll be back. Here I go.
This coffee is fantastic.
It's a Oliver Heldon song. But anywho, what else was I saying? Oh, okay. Want to talk about Starship Disney or whatever it's called?
I'm already packed and ready.
So if you don't know, Disney's coming out with this brand new
hotel
that's not like a regular hotel. It's obviously Star Wars themed. That's why we're talking about it. But you go on a fully immersive Star Wars journey on this starship for 2 nights and 3 days. Is that right?
Yeah. So I'm guessing it's a typical hotel. You check in at 3 o'clock and you have to check out by 11.
Yeah, something like
that. So really you get like one full day.
Yeah.
Like so that when you get there, you can go to like the bar or the cantina.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be all out that.
I'm drinking all the blue milk.
I want to know. So you're going to go to this experience, right? But are they going to get like, are you going to have options to buy like clothes?
Yeah, like I want to wear Star Wars clothes.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in like jeans and a t-shirt.
I already know what my outfit's going to be.
You want to be like an engineer or something?
No. All right. Remember Jabba's palace?
Yes.
In Return of the Jedi?
Yes.
The first time, and there was that green Twi'lek. She had like that black leather like dress on.
Yes.
That's what I want to wear.
I don't think they make that outfit in Jabba size though.
Well, I'm gonna have Sith Lord Britt make it on stream.
Perfect.
And the cosplay.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
No, well, no, I'm not, but it was funny.
Yes.
But for the record, I would be like Jabba Jr. sized. So.
Yeah, but I don't care about it how fat I am. Like that's not the point here. The point is
we're trying to cosplay on this thing.
Yes. Yes. Because like so Disney is really weird about cosplay, right?
Yeah.
So when you go to Galaxy's Edge, if you're under 12 years old, you can dress like a Jedi.
Okay.
But if you're over 12 years old, you cannot cosplay.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no kidding. Because they probably don't want people getting confused.
Yes. As are you a cast member or
not? Right. That's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
Yes. Well, I think it sucks because like.
Yeah, you would want to do something like
that. I want to dress up as the Twi'lek dancer who gets fed to the Rancor.
Right. It's fantastic.
But anyway, so back to this.
So it sounds absolutely epic. Obviously, they're not giving you out like story details on what happens while you're there.
So they're saying like a two-person cabin, and it's like a ship cabin, is going to be like 5 G's for 2 nights. It's no. Yeah, like total all in, it's like 5 G's, but supposedly that includes all your food. I'm guessing it's not alcoholic beverages and anything you buy, but like your whole experience is included in that. They haven't come out with the details in it, but I'm letting you know. The second it is available, I'm going to have 3 PCs and I'm going to book us a trip because I am going. And like, I wouldn't take my kids now. Because
yeah,
they wouldn't.
Older.
Yeah, they're not going to experience it. Like I want to be in the cantina until like 4 a.m.
Yeah, me too. I want to be a wild person.
Exactly. Like, and my kids go to bed. My kids go to bed at like 8 o'clock at night. Like right. They can't. I can't just sit in a starship all night.
Right. Yeah. Like you have to be responsible if you bring the kids. But if it's just the working class nerds go on a spaceship,
that's correct.
Just be debaucherous. It'd be awesome. Exactly.
Wasted.
Yeah. And like not even to be do anything stupid.
I'm
going to
be
like
drinking blue milk and Bacardi, okay? For days. I don't drink, but I will be drinking on that starship because I'm not going to need to Uber anywhere.
Right. That's great. It sounds really, really fun.
Exactly. But anyway, so there's no question on when, there's no update on when you're going to be able to reserve because I'm sure it's going to be booked for like 2 years straight. Like if I understand Disney, I'm guessing it's going to be like where you booked now for like 2026.
Yeah, something like that.
You know what I mean? It's going to be booking years in advance. That's why I want to do it right away because I'd like to do it in 2023.
Right. That'd be awesome.
How old will you be in 2023?
Old. 2 years? 29? 28. How old are you? Will you be 40?
Oh my God. Actually, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. And if we're really lucky, we'll drag your dad with us.
That's
and we'll just make him pay. Here, Storman, just use your card. We'll pay you back.
Yeah. Oh, did you get my Venmo?
No. Oh, I must have sent it to the wrong guy.
Hold on. Let me fix this. I'll check back in a couple weeks. Anyways, Marcus, how's it going? And what have you been up to?
Meanwhile,
back at the ranch.
Okay. I'm going to do this backwards. Shout out to all the nerds community.
Na, 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 na.
Thank you so much for all that you do for myself, Nick, and the community, and our podcast. Everything you guys do is so appreciated. Thank you. I have follower update to the road to 1K is we're at 863. So I'm coming in on 900 followers.
Wow.
I'm pretty amped up over that.
You absolutely should be.
And that 1K stream is coming soon. I can smell it.
Do you know any ideas on what you want to do?
It's definitely going to be a 6-hour stream.
Okay.
But it's going to be like 6 hours of mayhem and short shorts.
I was going to say, you should put something out.
Well, I have to.
Yeah.
So Rayu, Atrax, and Chimeri have like clipped and shared this across the galaxy. So I'm totally going to have to find pink short shorts. But the nice part is the camera is the waist up. The only time people are going to see me in the short shorts is if I'm dancing, which I'm sure they're going to make. I'm going to make a channel point for that night that is me dancing in short shorts.
Oh my god, the truffle shuffle in short shorts?
No, that you have to earn that shit.
That's
no, it'll just be like a quick stand up, like
yeah.
Like just a wiggle.
Shaky shake.
Shaky shaky.
Yeah, and move it along.
Yes.
Move along.
Yeah, so stream is awesome. I really like, so we raid on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We got some more prog on Kephis. It's going good. My Tuesdays and Wednesday streams I love, but you know what it is? It's like I get Tuesday and Wednesday done, and then we record on Thursdays, and it's like Friday I have the night off, and it's like it's all in anticipation for my Saturday night stream.
Right.
And then when Saturday comes, I'm like back to a happy puppy dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like, let's go.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's different content too, so it's
right. Extra so it's exciting. Yes, exactly. So I'm super excited for that. And this past week, I finally did a Destiny 2 raid.
Oh, a real one?
A real raid.
Wow.
Legit, dude. Like,
is that when you guys were wiping like 37 times and I was in there?
Yes. So okay. So Monday night, we have a raid team. A bunch of us have never done it in the game.
Yep.
But there's a Destiny 2 Discord channel. And it's like the official Destiny Discord.
Okay.
And there's like a looking for group. Like anytime you want to do a raid, all you got to do is poke in there that says newbie wants to go on a raid. Somebody take me and somebody will take you along the raid.
That's really cool.
So I told Ben that, like, I'm like, dude, it was Sunday before our raid. I was like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not watching Bad Batch. I think I quit, but we'll touch on that in a second.
Yeah.
And, I want to do a raid. And he's like, well, where are we going to get players? I said, this looking for group channel can't be that bad. It was actually awesome, dude. Like, I coordinated it. I told him what we were looking for. People joined. I told him, like, I've never done this. It's going to take some time. Everybody was super cool. And it was so, like, have you guys ever been a part of, like, something, like, super professional that you didn't expect to be professional?
Yes.
Like, yeah. Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody played the game like the raid, and as soon as it was over, everybody was like, thank you so much, and everybody just peaced out, no questions asked, no frill. It was like, okay, we did it.
That's
and
awesome.
We beat the raid.
Wow.
Which Ben was like shocked that we did, but like we kicked ass and took names. The Monday night I went with our raid team and we beat the first boss. And I'm new to the game. Like, okay, have you ever played a game where you're carried?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
Okay, 100%. So I...
Exhibit A, me playing Warzone.
Well, okay, so build on that. So
yeah.
I play with Kat and Ven when we play Destiny. Ven is an amazing player at Destiny.
Yeah.
Kat is an amazing player. So, like, I'm not pushed to be better.
Right.
Like, I can almost, like, just screw around, eat a bag of chips. Like,
they're taking care of it.
They're doing all the work.
Yeah.
But now going into a raid where I'm expected to do work, like, I feel like I'm not as prepared. So, like, now I'm, like, starting to play by myself and, like, do other things by myself to learn how to play better and survive and all that.
Yep.
Because I'm not being a handheld. But, dude, I'm going to tell you something, Nick. Destiny hits all of the spots. It has the gear grind.
Mm-hmm.
It has a gun grind, which is a weapon. It has the expansive story, which is pretty good. I love sci-fi. It reminds me of old school Halo.
Mm-hmm.
And it has raids and it has challenging content. And I get the crazy Call of Duty feel when I play the PvP.
Yeah. And you're like, run around shooting people.
Right. The downsides are there's a shit ton of cheaters, and Bungie doesn't care about like the average player. Yeah. So they took like matchmaking out of the game.
Oh.
So like when you matchmake to play PvP, you could be like, I could be like the lowest level and you get tiered with the best players in the world.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? So there's no like it's not skill-based matchmaking,
yeah,
which in my opinion sucks.
It sucks for new people.
It sucks for new people, but they did that because the streamers were crying.
Yeah, they want to play against the
they were like, we're sick of playing against the same people all the time.
Oh, you're right.
You know what I mean? Because when you're at the top tier, you're only playing, let's say 1 million people play the game. There's probably only 50,000 people that are top tier.
Right.
So you're always playing those same people, and it almost like brings me back to like the SWTOR ranked PvP community.
Right.
There's only so many people, and you're gonna bound to be playing with those people all the time.
Right. Right.
So I get it, and it just proves how streamers run this world.
Right.
When it comes to these games.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the biggest like publicity for those games. You know.
That's correct. So that's what I've been doing. I just wanted to touch on the shit going on with Blizzard. Mac, have you heard about that?
Yes, I have. Kind of wild, honestly.
Yeah, it's like staggering.
You know, I'm not going to deep dive into it just because like every news article everywhere you read.
It's but talking like about it, yeah.
Like, okay, there's a couple. I'm going to give two sides to this story.
Okay.
And I'm going to be hated for one of the sides.
Okay.
Okay. So, fuck you, Blizzard. Like, you should never do this shit. Right. Like, this shit is fucked up and wrong.
Yes.
But on the other side of that coin is, why is the state of California suing a company? Like, I feel like, I'm not saying this shit isn't true, because that's not what I'm saying. But it's almost like, why is the state suing a company?
I don't know. I suppose at some point, like, when you have enough... an egregious, and I'd say I'm talking out of my ass. I don't know. Actually,
well, we don't know anything. We're idiots, but it's just a question.
Yeah. I'd imagine at some point, if you have like egregious enough HR like type infractions that are like throughout the entire company, you have to like protect at some point. It's like, you know, harassing people and like just it becomes like a criminal offense at some point. I don't know where that threshold is. Apparently, California, you know, got the state. Got involved, did some sort of audit and determined, hey, yeah, you guys have been doing like enough fucked up things that this is like now needs to be punitive. You know what I mean?
I just don't get it.
I didn't know it could get that
and this
far.
This is not an attack on, this is not a protection of Blizzard because I think they suck for what they did. And everything was happening and I was just like, wow, that's awful. And then I saw the picture of Bill Cosby in a room.
I'm like, wow.
Is this fucking for real? Like, and they took pictures of this back in however many years ago it was, thinking like it's okay that you're celebrating a fucking rapist.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking morons.
Yeah. It's just chaos. The amount of like arrogance is mind blowing.
What do you think about all this debacle, Mac?
Well, first things first, absolutely horrific. Absolutely horrific. And I think so. I want to give a little, just like a tiny bit of background into my explanation for this. So I'm a big fan of like esports, mm-hmm. and I like used to really follow League of Legends, like the North American esports scene for League of Legends, like hard. I followed it like. I would watch all the games every weekend and stuff. And Riot Games, they had not nearly to the magnitude of what is going on at Blizzard right now, but they had a smaller scale issue of the same type. Mm-hmm. There were a few female employees that reported some not so good behavior in like very similar things. Men were being very degrading and
being fucking douchebags.
Yes.
Like, rule number one of life, don't be a douchebag. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, I agree with you completely. I mean, that I think everybody is forgetting, you know, that silly little cliche saying, you know, the golden rule is treat others the way you want to be treated, you know, and hopefully that is in a good regard. I mean, you would want others to treat you like a decent human being. And yeah, I think the way that it was handled with Riot, I think was not good. I don't think that Riot received enough of a punishment for what went on. If what happened was true. And I think it was, because this isn't the first time that I've seen a game developer have this sort of an issue with women in the workplace, right? And now with this Blizzard thing, I think bring down the hammer, man. Make a freaking example, because this is not okay behavior. And this is, like I've said, this is obviously on a massive scale, but like other game developing companies, I've read several articles from other game developing companies, more notably Riot Games being like the one that I saw get the most publicity. Bring down the hammer. Show everybody in this industry that it's not okay to do that. Like, give them the most severe punishments, because if Blizzard goes down, it'll put the fear of God, I think, into the other companies and hopefully rectify and provide a better future for these people that want to work in this industry. You know what I'm saying?
Like 100%.
I really think that, like, I'm honestly, like, I am in the same boat as you guys. I don't really understand all the legal mumbo jumbo, and I don't understand how the state of California can sue them. But like, dude, they better, I mean, just rip them to shreds, man. Cause like I said, WoW was one of the first games that like got me really into gaming, and I love World of Warcraft. But I don't know if I'm ever going to play the game ever again, because like, this is just something that is like, it's, and I know that it wasn't everybody, like it's not the people that were working on like World of Warcraft. Not all of them were involved in this, but like,
well, that's where I feel bad for. And I'm going to interject here. Through all of this, we have to remember that this is a $70 billion company.
Yep.
Right. This isn't like a tiny little studio with 15 employees. This is a $70 billion corporation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm going to quote Massively OP podcast. Bree said it this past week. She goes, that if you just handed one of the Blizzard employees, just a regular old developer that has nothing to do with this, $15, you're doing more for that single employee than the actual corporation that does for that employee. Because the money,
oh, I see what you're saying,
out of the $15 sub, the 2 pennies probably goes to the developer.
Right. Yeah.
And that's where I...
Not even.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's where I'm like, bring the hammer on the company. But what sucks is when they bring the hammer on the company, they're going to bring the hammer on the employees.
That are going to end up getting laid off.
Laid off because of whatever it comes. And that's what sucks. People are going to lose their jobs. And it fucking blows.
Yeah.
Because
that does. And yes, and I have thought of that.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that, like, I think that does, though, is it provides opportunities for other developers to pick up the strengths that Blizzard is losing. And I think that, I mean, I really think that, at least in my opinion, I think it would be smart for other developers to see what is going on here and provide the opportunities for the good guys in Blizzard to leave it all behind and become, you know, part of, you know, the new project, or become the strength of a new place. Like, I think because Blizzard has done a fantastic job at creating games. I mean, World of Warcraft is quite possibly the most popular MMO in the entire world, right?
Not anymore.
I guess that's true. You're right. You're right.
Well, I think Blizzard has lost their touch. And like, now, even before all this came out, there's been mass exodus out of the game, out of WoW. And people like Final Fantasy 14, they had to take the game off the shelves. You couldn't buy a digital key because they couldn't control how many people were going into the servers.
Right.
you know?
Which yes. But see, that's what I'm saying is there could be more games of that level if other developers and other companies took advantage of this situation and got all of the good guys that don't want to continue to be a part of what is going on at Blizzard. And
right.
Yeah. And I don't want any of those people to experience job loss or experience, you know, the negative downsides of this. But I also think an example needs to be set because like this can't be something that continues to happen, especially with how big the video game industry is in the world nowadays. Like this has to be something that starts getting rectified now.
And right.
It sucks that it has to start. I mean, it doesn't suck. It has to start somewhere. And I think right now is the biggest opportunity to set an example and to set a better standard for the video game development industry and publish the video game publishing industry.
No, I agree. Well, moving on from the depressing news, let's get into some SPOTOR news. So July 30th, we got an intelligence report, and it says, historical analysis of Manon, dispatched for commanding officers of the Imperial military report, Manon invasion. Subject, historical analysis of vulnerabilities and areas of exploitation. So basically, we got a short story with a few like pictures of Manon. And they showed it's basically like a military document showing like points of interest and locations to avoid. And it basically is explaining Manon. It's actually a really awesome read. And it's signed by Darth Arian, Sphere of the Galactic Influence.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it was a really good read. I tell everybody to read it because the BioWare did say that they will be releasing some of these to help like push the story forward and get everybody ready for whatever the next content is. Ha ha. So give it a read. It was interesting. It was nothing exciting. PTS is still going on. We still don't know much else. We're still losing all of our abilities. Blah, blah, blah. Moving on. In AIE news,
Tuesdays are our mandatory fun guild night from 9 to 11 p.m., where the fun is mandatory, but attendance is not. And we switch back and forth between the great, epic Imperial side and the
Sunshine and Rainbows.
Yes, the Sunshine and Rainbows Republic side. Also, what were we going to say, Marcus?
Fridays are the place to be in AIE.
Yes, indeed they are. So the first Friday of every month, we do some Master Mode Flashpoints. That is the hardest variety of Flashpoint you can do. Those are group content of the 45 minutes to an hour variety. And we'll walk you through them, how to do the most challenging ones. The second Friday of each month,
which is next week, August 13th.
Yes, indeed. Is hard mode training. So we're doing hard mode, the medium difficulty, but it's not so medium. It's definitely hard. Operations.
Yeah, and I host that. And I think.
Okay.
I really want to see people get thrown off the platform. So I think we're going to do Gods from the Machine just so I can see people die for 2 hours. Because it's my favorite, it's one of my favorite fights in the game. And the heart going from story mode, which it's like super easy and nothing hurts the boss, to this fight, it's actually freaking awesome because
it's way harder.
It's way harder. Yeah. And there's something called inversion where if you're not standing in the right place, whoop, right off the platform, you're dead. Dead. And there's no coming back. Dead.
That's fantastic.
Yes, it's awesome. What's on the third week?
The third Friday of every month is achievement hunting. So if there's that Datacron you didn't find yet, if there's some cool achievement you need to get, if there's a world boss you didn't fight because you didn't have friends to fight it, well, guess what? Now you have friends to fight that world boss. Third Friday of every month is achievement hunting. And the fourth Friday of every month.
The fourth Friday?
Yes. That's the best Friday of every month.
Why is it the best Friday?
Well, because there's four Fridays. It's Friday, 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 and it's Mega, where we'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. Mega, the monthly epic guild activity.
I don't know how long we've been doing that, but it does not get old. Okay. Like, I would, if I didn't play SWTOR, yeah, I would play SWTOR just on the Mega Fridays just to hear that.
It's great.
Yes. Anyways,
I guess the best.
I do not know what, I don't know what I'm going to do for this month. I have a couple ideas. Last month we did some racing around Tatooine and then we ended up doing an operation. I really kind of want to do some world boss hunt because we haven't done that in a while. And it's really fun and lighthearted. And you get to see like multiple planets on multiple worlds. And it's actually really fun.
And speaking of fun, if all this sounds fun to you, go to aie-guild.org. Jump in the Discord, which is found in the top right-hand portion of the website, and ask for a guild invite, whether or not you play Star Wars The Old Republic or any of the other games that we play, including, but not limited to, World of Warcraft, Destiny, Pokemon, Call of Duty, whatever you play, guess what? We do too, and we would love to have you.
And Nick,
yeah,
other than you, nobody plays New Vegas.
And with that,
no.
Well, oh, go ahead.
I don't know how to tell people to do it, but if you could go to twitch.tv/MarcusB814,
yeah,
I have our Discord link there.
Yep.
Join the Discord. There's banter all the time. We have a dad base where all the dad jokes are stored and it is freaking hilarious.
Yes.
Join the Discord.
Please. The Working Class Nerds Discord. The Nerds Community.
Thank you.
Discord.
Yes. It's freaking awesome.
Anywho, as per usual, I super duper have to pee, so we'll be right back.
Jeez, Nick, hurry up. We're trying to finish this podcast.
And we're back. So today, we're talking about the return of the Mac once again. Return of the Mac. It's Mac Daddy. We're talking all Mac Daddy all the time.
Mac, I am so sorry that you have to be involved in this. I am so sorry.
Dude, just wait till I do karaoke on stream.
Dude, I've got the best karaoke song ever.
Tequila?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Tequila.
Tequila.
That's it. Actually, believe it or not, my karaoke song is legit. I do Wu-Tang Clan Chess Boxing.
That's great.
Wow, impressive.
That's my karaoke song. But the people hate me.
Of course.
Because I fucking get into it hardcore.
Of course.
I mean, is there any other way to get into it?
No. Yeah,
it's a Wu-Tang Clan song. You got to commit or go home.
Yeah, I fully commit. Full commit. So, Mac.
Talk to me.
All right. I'm gonna drop the hardest question ever.
Okay.
Who's your favorite Star Wars character?
So,
in all of Star Wars,
as it currently stands, it's got to be Chewbacca.
Wow.
With Cad Bane being a close second.
These are great answers.
Well,
you got to elaborate a little, though.
Well, but Cad Bane, if he's number two, it's like Ricky Bobby says, if you ain't first, you last.
You last.
So
true.
So why Chewbacca?
I got to be completely honest with you. I don't have like one of those like super deep rooted answers. I've always admired the Wookiee species ever since I was a kid. Like in episode 3 in Revenge of the Sith, like when we saw Kashyyyk for the first time and I was like 10 or 11 years old, maybe 12 when that movie came out. And so like, that to me was one of the coolest planets I could have ever seen in Star Wars. And then to see it in the original Star Wars Battlefront 2 as a playable level was just insane.
2015.
I loved it. And so I've always had like a deep-rooted love for Wookiees. And Chewbacca is just the all-star of the Wookiees, at least from, you know, like mainstream content that we have. I'm also a big fan of Tarful as well. Like when my siblings and I would play pretend, you know, we would imagine ourselves in the Star Wars galaxy, you know, like I always wanted to be one of Chewbacca or Tarful. Like I wanted to, you know, pretend that I was a character like one of them. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I was not expecting Chewbacca or a Wookiee. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome.
The Wookiees are great. You played on Fallen Order, right?
I did. I did play Fallen Order, and the scene in Fallen, like, or the, I guess the time that you spend on Kashyyyk in Fallen Order is also excellent.
Yeah,
I think
agreed.
What I liked about Fallen Order in Kashyyyk,
yep,
was it showed the actual vertical scale of the planet, because you went deep down swimming, and then you had to climb all the way up those trees.
Right.
Yes. So for me, like, that showed the actual scale of the planet, where, like, in Revenge of the Sith, it was like Normandy Beach, and then like the treehouse villas, like at Disney World right there, and that was all you saw.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where, like, in the book, in the game, like, you were swimming, you know, 30 feet into the water, but then you had to climb the highest trees and, like, jump across. And what ability did you get on Kashyyyk?
I think the force pull, I think.
Yeah.
To pull the vines to you.
Yes.
One of those.
Yes.
Either that or the double jump, something like that.
Oh, the double jump is the greatest move ever.
Yeah.
You know where I first got the double jump? Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
That changed the game.
The double jump.
I still have the memory card. Anyways, moving on. Fallen Order 2, like, I'm a believer in a sequel, 100%.
Yeah.
But, like, that shit has to be amazeballs. Like, Breath of the Wild 2 is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's what Nintendo does. I hope that Respawn's who made Fallen Order.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I hope Respawn does it right and tells EA, look, it's not ready, it's not good, whatever it is, because, like, it has to be twice as good as the first. Because the first one is amazing.
Yeah. I'm so happy you actually finished that.
Oh, my God. That, you get the hottest companion ever in the games.
BD-8?
No.
Or BD-1, sorry.
No, the Night Sister.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God. She melts my heart.
Marcus is definitely into the big titty goth girls.
Hey, there's a type for everyone, right?
Yeah, right. Well, whatever. It's just her. She's, like, perfect. She's powerful. She has green smoke that pours out of her.
Yeah.
She's a Night Sister.
Yeah.
She's from the greatest planet in the Star Wars galaxy.
Dathomir.
Oh, my God. Dream girl.
I really wish we were doing this podcast remotely. It have to be next to Marcus.
Wow,
just dreaming over here.
Anyway, moving on.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch. So, tell us about why you first started gaming. Sorry, first started streaming way back in the day.
So, I actually, like a few other people in this community, I never had the idea to stream. Like, I'd always had, like, thought of it as, like, you know, a pipe dream in the back of my mind, you know, because I never thought I was good enough at games to, like, stream.
Yeah.
But then, like, I started realizing the more I got involved with Twitch and stuff, the more I realized it was about entertainment value. And I felt like, you know, it, and in some ways I could provide that to a stream. Like, I can be a little energetic, you know, I can bring the hype sometimes, you know, and, like, I was like, I could do that maybe. And then there were several community members. Serpents brought it up, one of his streams. He goes, "Hey, Mac, when are you going to stream?" And then I got probably 15 or 20 DMs on Discord of just random members of the community who I've talked to, like, in streams, and Serpents, Director Chronics, like, in several other streams, that were like, "Hey, if you streamed, I would definitely, like, I'd definitely be there and watch. Like, I'd definitely be interested in seeing you stream." And that kind of was the domino into getting me started. And then I had to buy a gaming PC because all I had was an Xbox and a laptop at that time.
Right.
So I saved up a little bit of money, bought myself a decent PC, and here we are. I started streaming because I wanted to spread a little bit of positivity. I think that is my, like, main goal, and that is, like, my the main reason why I started streaming was to just be a positive outlet for people to come hang out and be uplifted through games.
I think that's about as great of a reason to start as you could possibly ask for. You know, I know here at the Nerds community, we definitely preach positivity as well, but
I don't. I'm negative all the time.
That's definitely not true.
I don't bring the hype.
That's a lie.
And I'm negative.
Can you just, is this opposite day or something?
No, somebody gave me an Uno reverse card earlier.
There we go. There it is. Oh my gosh.
Anyway, no, you're right. Because so many things you read nowadays are negative. And like when there's somebody that's happy or smiling or loud or just excited, like you, people feed off that. Like, I can't tell you, like, I try not to repeat stream title names too often.
Yeah.
But like the one is that I love the most is smiling. What do I put? Oh, smiling equals positivity.
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite saying. Like, there's no reason not to smile.
Yeah.
So
I couldn't agree more. Like, and a funny story, actually, I went into Marcus's stream well before I knew Chimeri, well before I knew a lot of the SWTOR streamers that I do now. And I dropped, I think it was like 10 or 25 bits or something. And I just said, "Hey dude, you're doing a great job. Keep up the great work. Have a great night." And let me tell you, dude, the way Marcus received that little message was absolutely insane. And that was like the beginning of like what made me feel like I should be doing that more often. Like, if I am actually enjoying somebody's content, I need to let them know, because the way Marcus reacted, I was like, this is awesome. I love that he is so just like hyped up right now. And I'm not saying that it was like, I'm not saying that I'm the one that brought that out in him, because I've now learned that Marcus is like one of the kings of hype on Twitch. But
he's like that in real life too.
The way that he received it was just like insane to me. And it was just like, I was like, dude, I should just keep telling, like, if I'm enjoying people's content, I should let them know more often, because yeah.
So I really appreciate you saying that, right? Do you want me to, you know, and this isn't the show about me, I'm not saying it is, but do you want to know what makes me the happiest in my streams? Straight up.
Let's hear it.
When somebody talks to me in chat.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking love it. Like, love it. Like, when somebody's like, yo, especially if I've never seen them before, because, like, believe it or not, I always thought people are like, you're going to remember names. And I'm like, bullshit.
I'm not going to remember Dickeldorf 314.
Exactly. Dickeldorf 314. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this Mac Daddy guy. Hey, dude. Yeah. Like, I'm going to, and then you disappear. And I'm not talking like directly you. I'm using you as an example. But like, you disappear for 6 months and then you come back. Like, I remember those people.
Of course.
And there's a few people that are in my stream that have been there since the beginning. And I remember. And when they come back, however long it's been, because their life or whatever, I fucking go crazy because they're talking. And like, that shit means so much to me. Forget about anything else. Just chat with me. You want to see me the happiest puppy on the planet? Just say hello.
Right.
And that will turn into a million words that are going to come out of my mouth. Because I love it. That's my favorite part of streaming. But anyways, how am I giving him all the hard questions?
I don't know. I got one. So I'll take over. Please hold.
Oh,
sit back and relax. Fold your tray.
But I can't relax because I just drank 300 milligrams of caffeine.
It's awesome. It's it's extreme coffee.
It's mega.
I was just going to say, you could even call it mega. The monthly epic guild activity. Anyways, I'm not doing the whole spiel again because once you start, you just can't stop. So you touched on this already. So you were a console gamer, and now that you're streaming, you're using a PC. Do you find yourself going back to the Xbox at all? Or are you sort of like committed to PC now?
Committed to PC, 100%. The gaming experience on PC. So like, I would play some games on my laptop, but my laptop was not specialized in any way for gaming.
Yeah,
like I ran games at the lowest of low quality. And even then I had the hardest time. Like, I don't like in games, like I think the lowest ping I think I ever got in a game was like 80. And I think the highest frames, well, so the ping I realize is more internet connection.
Yes.
But like, yep. The frames per second too was just so low. Like, I don't think I think maybe twice in my entire time gaming on that laptop, I got to 60 FPS on a game.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So on top of the fact that I didn't have very good internet with the ping, I also didn't have, anyways, I digress. The point is, now that I have like a PC that like can run games fairly well, like when I'm not streaming, I can run all the games at like the highest setting. There's no like there is no point in going back to console, in my opinion.
At least for me. I completely agree. Yeah, especially because you can use a controller with a PC if you want to.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I play Sea of Thieves. I play Sea of Thieves with one of my Xbox controllers, and yeah, I just. There's nothing like it. And I think playing on keyboard and mouse is even like, I don't know. I feel like for me, it's more stimulating and it's more like, I don't know. I feel like it's just an overall better experience for me at least. And so, yeah, I'll never go back to, I mean, I will if I have certain people that want to play, right? Obviously. But yeah. Like for me personally, playing games by myself, I will not go back to console. I will only play games on PC.
Well, there's a few opinions I have on this. Because this is like, there's no question that PC gaming is the master race of gaming, right?
Yeah.
There's no question. You can modify your PC to, you can overclock stuff. You can upgrade it. You can change stuff in it to make it better. You can buy a better monitor. There's like, you can do more. If you're a, I'm gonna use it as like, let's say if you're a kid, a console is the best thing for you because your right. Parents spend $500, you get a console, get an extra controller, and you're done essentially for the life of that console.
Yeah, for at least 5-6 years, whatever.
Or whatever
the 8 years, well, whatever.
Well, I think the PlayStation 4 was like 13 years or something ridiculous.
Really?
I don't know how you're gonna have to look.
Please hold.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, Nick was this guy. So I was a console gamer. I built my computer to play SWTOR, and I played it for a day or 2 weeks, and I shut it off to go back to playing Modern Warfare and Black Ops. But what I'm saying is,
when did it November come out? 2016, it came out.
The PlayStation 4?
Yeah, so it's 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Anyway, so I stand corrected. Wow, technology changes that fast.
Yeah, well, each console generation's shorter and shorter, essentially.
Right. So that's why they're anyway, yeah. Let me just finish this point.
Of course.
So Nick got a gaming laptop and it had like a junk GTX 950M, which was like the mobile version of the 950. It was garbage.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even play like SWTOR on low settings. Like, I'm a graphical whore.
Yeah.
I talk about it all the time. Like, if I can't play a game on like very high or ultra, I need a new video card. Just because, like, I don't play games to play them on low. And you can respect this, Mac, right? When you play it on your laptop. Playing a game on low isn't fun for anybody. And if you're going to buy a gaming computer to play it on low, go buy a console.
Yes.
Right? Because you're going to get better frame rates, better looks, better graphics out of those.
It's easier.
100%.
Clearly, you can't play all the games on
but a PC. The quality is what you should be shooting for.
That's correct. Like, right. Like, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops, when I was playing it on medium on a computer was what you were getting on an Xbox. So, and if like, and I don't want to play it on ultra, but anyway, so, but back to Nick, then Nick got a gaming rig.
Yep.
And now he's playing games on high quality and
ultra
and 144 frames a second monitors.
Yep.
Like, the games look incredible.
It's like a night and day difference.
Like, even Fallout New Vegas is however many years old. It looks incredible.
Yeah, and, like, the render distances are, like, as far as the eye can see.
Exactly.
Like half the map, you know?
That's what I'm saying. So, there's positives to both.
Right.
I just think, you know, what stinks like Microsoft is getting it right. All Microsoft new titles that come out for the Xbox are released on PC day one.
That's awesome.
I respect that a lot. Sony, on the other hand, they still have their snooty little noses in the air like, ours are only on PlayStation, where they don't realize that if they just released it on the PC, they would sell more copies. Like, I'm not going to go buy a PlayStation 5 just to play Spider-Man, Miles Morales, or any of the other, or the new God of War or anything. I'm just not going to play the game.
Yeah.
You know, Nick's about to play Horizon Dawn. Horizon Zero Dawn. A game is, that was a launch game, I think, for the PlayStation 4. So now it's available on the PC 5 years later, and they're charging full price for it.
Right.
Like, I should have waited for a Steam sale to buy it for you, but I just can't see you playing New Vegas anymore.
It was a power move.
It was a power move, yeah. So all I'm saying is, it's once you make that switch, like switching from controller to keyboard and mouse is brutal.
Especially for first-person shooters, yeah.
It's brutal. It took me a month to learn, but I don't type for a living at all.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it was extra hard. Like, somebody in AIE was talking about how they bought a keyboard that has no writing on it.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. Like, no labels.
No letters,
nothing.
No numbers.
That's just chaos. I'm pretty good, but I'm not that good.
Yeah, know? No kidding.
I don't even know where W is.
For WASD. Yeah. You got to look down to the different colored keys, right?
Yep. Anyways, what is your favorite game of all time?
Of all time.
You can give a top handful if you want.
Yeah, like top three is acceptable, but I really the first one you usually mention is your favorite.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Gotta be Super Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
That's a great pick. That is an epic game.
Absolutely enjoyed hundreds of hours on that game.
That's fantastic.
And then probably after that, Star Wars Battlefront 2, the original.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the original, like 2008 Battlefront.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that one.
All right.
And to round out the top three, I'd have to say I think it has to be SWTOR. I think I've gotten the most enjoyment out of SWTOR of any PC game ever. Up to this point.
Yeah.
Up to this point.
Those are fantastic answers, but I just want to circle back to Smash Bros. So obviously you played tons and tons of time, but the important questions are which characters did you play?
So in Smash Bros. Melee, I think the two characters that I played the most were Bowser and Captain Falcon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Falcon Punch.
Yes, dude. Falcon Punch was.
I like the Knee of Justice in the later ones too. I don't know if you could do that in Melee. I don't remember, but so you weren't
what now?
Like the I don't know. He has a knee in, I think it was the Wii U version. I played that in college a bunch.
Yeah,
and if you just knee them, it's fine. But if you like land it perfect where you're the tip of the knee, just barely hits the guy, they like it does a lot more damage than they get launched. Maybe it's not actually called the Knee of Justice, but that's what we called it.
I don't know if that was in Melee, but I think that was also on the Wii version.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Wii and Wii U added that, but I don't know that that was on Melee.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Because
his big finishing move on Melee was you could grab your enemy, and then he would literally just lift him up, and then he would elbow forward, and that would just finish. It was like my finishing move in that game with him.
That's awesome. I was terrible back then at like fighting games like that. So I would just try to Falcon Punch all the time and Falcon Kick, and obviously you can't do that. I learned later that like how to actually play games like that.
Do combos and stuff. And,
right.
Yeah.
block and dodge and things like that.
Yes. Okay, I have a confession.
Oh boy. I think I know what you're going to say and I hate it.
I never played Smash Brothers until the Switch.
That's
fine. I played it like two times and I said this is freaking dumb.
Well, yeah, because you need to play on a couch with your buddies.
True.
With like four people and then they're just talking shit the whole time.
It's like, have you ever played the game Marvel versus Capcom?
Yes.
Okay. Great game, but you can't even understand what's going on because
it's all the lights and colors.
It's like it starts off round one fight and you're like, okay, we're fighting. And then all of a sudden super moves start happening and the screen is like a rave party. And like there's 10,000 strobes going off and all of a sudden Ryu wins and you're like, what the hell just happened?
That's like, that's exactly how I feel when you are doing operations.
Yes, exactly.
It's very confusing, but right. Underneath it all, it's wicked fun.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
Captain America wins.
Do you think variety game streaming is a viable choice for streaming games?
Yes and no. And I will explain two things. I think if you have any long-term goals for streaming, I don't think variety streaming is the way to go. Because in all of the, like, I have seen quite a few streamers hit partner over the last probably 8 to 10 months. I've witnessed a lot of streamers go from, you know, the 20 to 30 viewer range to partner. And the only way that you can hit partner, at least, like I said, over these, you know, five or six streamers that I've seen hit partner over this time period, it is incredibly hard to do it playing more than one game because you have to build up a community that is going to consistently watch you for, you know, whatever amount of time that you're going to be playing the game. And if you're constantly changing what game you're playing, then because people are browsing Twitch based on what game they want to watch, right? They're not sitting there at the search bar typing in random names and hoping they find somebody cool. They play Fallout New Vegas for the first time or whatever, and they're going to go to Twitch and look for NickVern51 because he's the one streaming it, you right. know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't think that it's bad. I just don't. I think if you have long-term goals for streaming, being a single game person, at least until you have a big enough community to where playing other games is viable, I think sticking to one game is the better shot for streamers.
Yeah.
Because that's how you build a community, is by getting a bunch of people who have similar interests in games and have similar interests in because 9 times out of 10, you're going to play a game later on stream when you want to have that variety. That's going to be similar to that very first game that you were streaming. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's because of the similarity, your community can then kind of grasp the new game. And at least from what I've seen, it doesn't seem to, like, streamers don't take as big of a hit on viewership and whatever else.
Yeah.
I think you hit the nail on the head for basically all the points that I would typically make for that.
Yeah. I think if you're streaming just to stream and like have like friends stop by and like grow your channel at a slow pace, I do believe that variety streamers can be successful, but I think the path to make it, if your end goal is partner or whatever it may be.
Yeah, or even a successful affiliate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think because success is what you gauge it at.
Yeah.
Right. But
you're right. Like, if you really want to grow and you're going to be a variety streamer, yeah, it might take you 2, 3, 4 years to make it to where you want to be. Where if you were a single game community, it can help. It helps you to just be in one.
All right. Yeah. Just pick a game.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a bigger boon to stick to one game, I think, than it is to try to just, you know, play a new game every single time you hit go live.
Right.
Or even just like four or five games that you rotate through. I still think picking one game is a bigger boon.
Right.
Than 100%. Doing that.
Well, see, for me, and I'm going to call Nick out, what I'm looking forward to for like Nick's streams is he's going to play a game, like a story-driven game, but he's going to play it from beginning to end on Monday nights.
Right.
And when that game's over, he's going to start a new game, but he's only doing it one day a week.
Right.
You know, with a bonus playing like Call of Duty or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like I can stand behind that because you're going to play a game start to finish and then play something else. But Nick is
that I feel like I can get behind too. Sorry to interrupt you, because like, it, just as an example, like the Cozy Night thing that I think Director Chronic has going on, I think is a brilliant idea.
But
to change it up.
Well, so I do agree with that, but he's already made partner. Right. So for me, like he's already made it. He can. It's up to him now to go to the next level. Like he can either take a step back and like chill and take some nights off and do it, or he can push forward and grind as hard, if not harder, because now that you're partner, you have other features that can happen. And you know what I mean? So like him doing Cozy Night, he's branching out his partnership qualities and he's able to do that. But before he made partner, he didn't play any other game other than Battlefront.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he, and I agree. And I am with that 100% because he knew in order to make that goal, he has to play the game where the viewers are.
Exactly.
This is why I don't stream Destiny.
Right.
I want to stream Destiny so bad. Like I want a fall counter for as much as I suck when I fall. That's how much I fall. But I don't do it because I know what that does. And it's not that. And people are like, oh, you should play what you want. No, because my community supports me and our community.
Yeah.
When I'm playing SWTOR.
Right.
So that's what I do.
Right.
And that's where my home is. Someday.
You can branch out or whatever.
Someday but... I will. Or maybe I'll never stream Destiny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Anyway. You'll get there, Marcus. I believe in you.
No. No.
Well, anywho,
listen, I'm going to tell you the truth, Mac. Partner isn't my goal. It's not my goal. You know what my goal is? To have my channel big enough to be able to help all of you guys, you, Nick, anybody else in the world that like hangs out with me. My goal for my channel is to be able to get to a point where I can come in and you say hello and I tell everybody to go follow you and they do. And then they start watching your stream and supporting you. That's my goal of my channel. It's not to make partner because it's partner isn't in my sights. Like I'm not going to make partner, but if in the process of me streaming, I can get you followers or get Nick to affiliate or get Tabs, help Tabs grow her channel or Kogis or anybody else on this planet. That's my goal.
And that's huge.
That's super. Yeah, that's awesome. So I have a really, really difficult question for you.
Yeah, this one's wicked tough.
I don't know if you strapped in for this one, but what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Cookies and cream, hands down.
Whoa.
Not even a contest.
Has anybody said that before?
Oh, yeah. Someone said cookies and cream and then something else, but I don't remember who it was.
I don't either.
I'm getting the Joe Rogan effect where all the podcasts blend together and I forget who says what.
So I think for like flavors that you can get in the store, cookies and cream.
Okay.
But for flavors that are maybe like, you know, you can only get at that one ice cream shop, you know, down the road or in that one shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
I recently had pine nut flavored ice cream. And that may be one of my new loves.
Wow. What does that taste like? Pine trees, I take it?
Pine tree.
Well, so it's kind of got, it's, Let me think of how to describe this for a second. It's kind of got like a... It's not cinnamon per se, but if you've ever tasted... Oh, hold on. What is the name of this? If you've ever had like
Old Spice cake?
Allspice.
Oh, yeah. Like clove,
but Allspice. Yeah. If you've ever had like allspice cake, that's a very similar flavor to it.
I get what you're saying.
Like, it's not overwhelming. It's not like an overwhelming flavor, but it's just like sweet enough to where it's like it hits that spot, you know?
I get you.
My favorite ice cream is coffee Oreo. Go figure.
Not a bad choice, honestly.
I don't know what the heck I've said in this slot before. Did I ever share?
You like triple chocolate with chocolate chips.
Yeah. So for reference, Mac, I'm actually allergic to chocolate.
He's not. He just is a whiner.
No, Marcus hates it. Marcus tries to give me chocolate at every turn.
At Nick's, so I'm making the announcement now. When Nick hits 500 followers, he's going to eat a Reese's peanut butter cup on stream.
Brilliant.
Sounds great. Just call the ambulance beforehand. That'll be a nice, quick 10-minute stream.
You'll be fine.
But no, I think so. My favorite ice cream place in the world is Scoop Deck in Maine, in Wells, Maine. They have the best ice cream of all time. They'll take like a giant waffle cone. Marcus is scoffing, but dude, I'm telling you,
I've been there.
And it's, well, if you're scoffing and you went there, you didn't get the right flavor. But
of course, it's delicious. Listen, have you ever had bad ice cream?
No.
Like, really?
No.
It's like pizza. It can be lower quality. But have you ever had
stop the phone.
Okay.
I've had terrible pizza.
Yeah, so you, have I.
Okay? It's in New York City. Awful.
That's a good point. That is a greasy, sloppy mess. You know what? I'm actually standing by that because I don't like New York style either.
No.
I'm gonna get a lot. We're gonna get a lot of heat for that, but
oh, dude, we're gonna have hate.
Sith Lord Brits be like, invite unsent.
Yes, you're not getting a pumpkin donut at the cantina,
right?
Anyways, what I was gonna say is the
pizza.
Pizza, can be bad. I can eat pizza anytime, but you can have a bad slice of pizza.
Yeah, no,
for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
You ever have one that's like undercooked because they cooked it and you chew it? It's still like dough in the middle, and you're like, bleh.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, if it's actually done, like I've opened up a thing of ice cream and it's like ridiculously freezer burnt, and then I still took a bite anyway, and that was terrible. But that's not like what I'm talking about.
You let it sit on your tongue for a minute and melt the ice crystals, and it tastes delicious.
No, it tastes like the inside of your freezer with a hint of vanilla or whatever it was.
See, I don't agree. I think there. Unless there's like actual like issues with a flavor, I don't think that there's bad ice cream.
That's fair. I think I agree. Bad ice cream is always great, but I think my favorite's probably like the cinnamon bun from Ben and Jerry's. That's epic.
Ooh, good choice.
So, in all seriousness, Mac, what's it like to have to fight against the Sandman and Mike Tyson?
What do you mean?
Oh, never mind.
Is that a wrestling?
No, thing? Nintendo's Punch Out.
Yeah.
His name is Mac.
Oh, I forgot. The main character's Mac.
Okay. You guys. Sheesh, dude, if I would have known that was coming, I would have had a better answer.
Right over your head.
That did go right over my head. I apologize.
No, it's my own fault. I'm an idiot.
That was a little out of left field. That was neither related to ice cream nor the previous question.
You know what that's called? 300 milligrams of caffeine from fucking death to Marcus. Cold Brew Death Wish Coffee Company. Anyways,
hashtag not a sponsor.
So now that you're coming back to streaming this weekend, do you have any goals in mind that you would like to announce or see that you can make?
Well, we just hit 300 followers.
Woo woo! That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's and huge.
Like, I'm not trying to flex or anything. Like, I'm really not. But we hit it at the same time as I hit 1 month of affiliate, and I thought that was just absolutely wild, and I didn't realize that that was happening until it happened. So for right now, I think for right now, my immediate goal for streaming is to just have fun with it and not, because I think for this first month, I really set a low standard for myself, and I watched my viewer count and I watched my follower count and stuff. And I think for the near future, I'm going to turn all of that crap off.
Hell yeah.
Turn it all off. And I'm not even going to worry about it. I just want to have fun and enjoy myself on stream. Whether that requires me talking more to chat, I feel like I do a decent enough job at talking to chat while I stream. I'm not perfect at it. I mean, I can always be better. But like whatever ways that I can have more fun while streaming, that is what I want for the next, you know, however long it takes me to figure out what I want to do next. I want to just make sure that every single time I hit go live and then I hit, you know, in stream and I raid out, that I have had an absolute awesome time.
That's why my viewer count is never on. I find out at the end of the stream how many people watched because you get the email from Twitch.
Right.
Right.
But like I measure my stream by the chat. If people are chatting with me all night, it's an awesome stream. I don't care if there's two people watching, one person. I mean, my first streams was just me and Nick bantering back and forth.
That's great.
Right. And those are some of my most vivid streams because like the chat makes your stream.
Yeah.
Right. And turning off that, Mac, it takes the pressure off of your shoulder of like, oh my God, why aren't more people here? What did I do wrong or anything like that?
Yeah. You could be like wondering, oh, it went down two people after I said this. Did I say something wrong or something? Meanwhile, they just both happen to have to go eat dinner or whatever, you know?
Right.
You get all in your head about it.
Which has definitely happened. Like, that's a real thing. And I tried to pride myself on not thinking that way. Cause like I said at the very beginning, like president of positive, dude, we're all about the positive attitude, but like, it's just human nature. You see that and the comparisons come out and, you know, like all of that stuff happens and it's, you know, I just, it's not worth it. And I'd much rather shoot for having fun because I know that that's where growth can happen. And I know that that's where I want to be, whether the growth happens or not. I mean, I know it's going to happen, but like, that's where I want to be. I want to be at a point where every single time that I raid out, I have had the time of my life.
Awesome. That's exactly where you want to be. Speaking of awesome stream things, is there a particular moment or stream that stands out to you as like your favorite stream moment?
Yeah. The very first night, my very first ever affiliate stream, I hit go live on a Thursday night. It was the night that you guys had Director Chronic on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I went live and I was going to play Phasmophobia. And I had my, you know, my friends that were going to play Phasmophobia with me in the Discord call. I'd loaded up the game and I was about to get ready to play. And then I got hit with Rayu came in and ended his community night and raided me. And so then I started talking to them and we didn't play the game. And then I was just, you know, talking with Rayu and all of a sudden a notification popped up in OBS. Flo McNasty TV has raided you with 467 viewers.
Whoa.
And I literally thought I was going to crap my pants.
I'm guys, sure.
Because I had never seen that many chat messages flying through.
Of course. You can't possibly read those.
And I, like, the clip is still up from when the raid, like, initially happened. I think the clip is still up on my Twitch channel. And it's on my Instagram as well. I was absolutely elated because I had no idea. Like I had seen Flo McNasty's because he's a Grand Theft Auto, the No Pixel role-playing server. He's big in that community, in the GTA roleplay server. Yeah. And so I had seen some of his like the highlights of what his character had done because his character is a getaway driver
for
the criminals. And so like I had seen some of that stuff because some of the other streamers that I watched did some of the robberies where he was the getaway driver for. Anyways, so I was freaking out, man. I was absolutely having the time of my life and I was freaking out. And then High Jedi raided me. And I think the peak viewership, not that this was the reason why it was so memorable, but like the peak viewership was 500 people in the street. Oh my God,
that's chaos.
And I couldn't even believe what was happening. Like, I was reading I was reading as many chat messages as I could see, and everybody was so happy for me. And that was what made it memorable, was seeing how happy everybody was for me because I had made affiliate, and that was my first ever affiliate stream. What made it memorable was so many people were saying congratulations and we're so happy for you, dude, you're such a cool guy, congratulations and stuff. And I was just blown away that many people could just saying congratulations could make me feel so just like over the moon.
Of course. Did you ever speak with Flo McNasty or whatever his name is?
I went to his stream I think it was either the next day or 2 days later. Yeah, oh, no, it was before. The next day. It was Friday morning, and I went in and I gifted him a few subs, and I just I started chatting with him and one of his mods who recognized me. And I was just saying thank you. I was like, dude, you have no idea how crazy of a night I had. It was absolutely insane. I can't thank you enough for what you did and whatnot. And it was a really cool exchange we had. I couldn't stay for very long because I had to work, but I don't know. It was just a nice exchange, and he did it. He did it out of the wholesomeness of his heart. He didn't do it because he was trying to, seek clout. You know, this is what I do. I raid small streamers and make their day or whatever. He just did it because he was I was feeling I want to go find somebody that I've never raided before and just have fun with it. And I was that is the coolest thing ever.
That's amazing. That
is pretty amazing. So where can everybody find you?
twitch.tv/Mac_daddy, the number 8. Or you can go to Instagram and you can find me at Mac_8. At least I believe that's it. Yeah, Mac_, so 2 underscores, daddy, and then the number 8 on Instagram. And those are the 2 places that you can find me. I'll be streaming this Saturday and this Sunday. And we'll be having some fun.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.